Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
The text is from Revelation chapter 12, verses 7 through 12. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I want to start with this. Luther rightly taught, God does not wish to deal with us in any other way than through the spoken word and the sacraments. At the time of the Reformation, radical reformers taught that people should seek God outside of his word, looking instead to their inner feelings, thoughts, and other so-called religious or spiritual experiences. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? Luther called them enthusiasts, or the German word is Schwärmer. Or you could say, when you're talking about them, Schwärmerei. It's a German word. It simply means buzzing bees, because that's all they were, was an annoyance. You see, this error, though, is deeply rooted in all people as a result of the fall. It must be battled constantly. It is also the root source of all papal errors. Article 9 of the Augsburg Confession takes us all the way back to the fall, as we read all this is the old devil, the old serpent, Revelation 12, 9, who also turned Adam and Eve into enthusiasts. He led them away from God's outward word to spiritualizing and self-pride. And yet, he did this through other outward words. In the same way, our enthusiasts today condemn the outward word, yet they themselves are not silent. They fill the world with their babbling and writings, as if the Spirit could not come through the apostles' writings and the spoken word, but has to come through their own writings and words. Here ends the quote. Perhaps there is no more biblical topic that brings out the Schwärmer in us all, in the old Adam, more than the topic of angels. Today we remember the feast day of Saint Michael and all angels, which is celebrated each year on September 29th, as it's directly connected to In the 5th century, a Roman basilica 6 miles outside of Rome that's dedicated to Saint Michael. Later, around the 17th, 18th century, our Anglican friends add the phrase "and all angels" to Saint Michael, and that's how it becomes Saint Michael and all angels. The Roman Catholic Church formally started celebrating or remembering this feast on the 29th and the 12th century. And so when we look at the scriptures and we deal with the topic of angels, there are only three in the Bible mentioned by name. One, a fallen angel, Lucifer, the devil, Satan, etc. Right? The other two, Michael, who is called an archangel in the scriptures, and he is talked about in Daniel 10 and Daniel 12, which we read today, and also in Revelation 12, which we read today, and then finally in Jude verse 9. Then we all know really well the angel Gabriel, because we rejoice and sing praise about the message he brings to the Virgin Mary. And he's recorded in Daniel 8 and 9 and Luke 1, and later, the church adds the title to him of archangel, but nowhere in the scriptures does that appear. Okay? And so these are the three we know by name. And then we get into, you end up with the rest of the names that people come up with for angels. You end up into Jewish mysticism of some level or another. There are a couple mentioned in the Apocrypha to the Old Testament, but most of them come out of Jewish mystic writings and or out of the Spiritists of our age, people like Shirley MacLaine in the past and others connected to that kind of what's the word I want to use? Schrammer! Right? Enthusiast. And so today, contrary to the Sadducees in the Old and New Testament, who reject the existence of angels, and contrary to liberal Christians, and to those of the flesh, of the world, who reject Christian faith altogether, Scripture declares angels are not only real, but they are busy and active, and they are part of what we call God's invisible creation, God's ministering servants. And while this feast is largely ignored by many Lutheran churches these days, it's sad because it provides the one opportunity I know for certain that we have to even talk about the doctrine of angels and a right understanding of what they do and why they exist, etc., etc. You see, the first mention of angels in the Scriptures occur in Genesis 3:15. Well, not 3:15, Genesis chapter 3, excuse me. You have the fall, Adam and Eve. They eat of the fruit after the devil had tempted them. There's an angel, but a fallen one. And then we're told that a flaming sword with a cherubim, or a seraphim, excuse me, is placed in front of the tree of life to protect it from people eating it. Right? A cherubim. Then angels, throughout the Scriptures, they fight for us against Satan and his evil angels, as Michael fought with the dragon in John's vision, who was quickly called that old serpent that drives us right back to Genesis 3 and the fall and the promise of the Messiah in Genesis 3:15 with the first telling of the gospel. They guard us in peril. The angel of God stopped the mouths of the lions in Daniel's in the lion's den with Daniel, and walked in the fiery furnace with the three young men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. St. Peter is delivered from the cruelty of Herod Antipas by an angel who broke him out of prison. And I didn't mention in first service or Thursday, but an angel also came down and broke Paul out, but Paul decided to stay in prison. And it actually led to the conversion of the guard, the prison guard. Angels provide for man's necessities. An angel showed Hagar a fountain where she and her son could drink. An angel provided bread and water for Elijah under a broom tree. Angels announced Jesus' birth, as well as I already said, coming to Mary and to Joseph. The birth of to the shepherds and the keeping watch at night. Angels ministered to Jesus after the temptation. An angel came and strengthened Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Angels rolled back the stone of Jesus' tomb, revealing to us that he had risen from the dead. Angels announced the good news of Jesus' resurrection to the women at the empty tomb that first Easter morning. And we can't forget that an angel will sound the trumpet blast when our Lord returns on the last day. In short, it appears that angels are present at the key moments of Jesus saving his people from their sins. But it is important to understand, you do not become an angel. We are different species. Angels are created sometime between day one and day six, and they are, If you want to think about it, they have no body also. They can appear in a physical form, but they are not physical beings in that sense. We, on the other hand, are the crown of the visible creation, made in the image of God, and have body and soul. The word angel comes from the Greek angelos, which means just messenger. An angel is then literally a messenger from the Lord, and this term can be used for both pastors and these supernatural beings we're talking about today. When you read Revelation and it says that to the letters that are written to the seven churches there, it says to the angels of the seven churches, right? Well, it could be rightly translated to the pastor of the seven churches as well. And so when people say, which is it? I always love the Lutheran answer, both. You see. And then we're warned by St. Paul in his letter to the church at Galatiae. As he says in Galatians 1:8, "But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed," anathema, or you could say damned to hell. It's as if Paul knew, and clearly by inspiration of the Holy Spirit he did, knew that there would come a day when Muhammad and Joseph Smith would be screaming that they talked to an angel recently and they have a new religion for us all. Now, it is kind of interesting when you think about the occurrence or the vision, supposedly, the angel appearance to Muhammad and Joseph Smith. We don't really get the account where the angel comes to him and says, "Don't be afraid." They just kind of have a conversation, which leads me to believe they didn't talk to an angel. Because in the scriptures, when an angel comes upon you, you're kind of freaking out. I'm sure if one stood right there today, invisible sight, you would be doing a little freaking out, and we'd want to hear him say, "Do not be afraid." Right? Which just further goes on to prove that Muhammad and Joseph Smith are full of hot air, or were full of hot air. They're no longer. And if, I don't know if you listened to Issues, etc. this week or not, but there was actually a discussion on there whether Muhammad existed at all. His very history didn't get written about him until 200 years after his death, supposed death, and it was written by the two factions that were splitting Islam. So there is some questions about that. It's an interesting listen. Give it a chance if you have time. Anyways, back to these angels. What Paul says here in Galatians reminds us that there are good angels and they are bad ones. Right? Evil angels. That we call them demons. And Satan is certainly, Lucifer is certainly with them. The scriptures don't tell us precisely when the Lord created them at all. But it does tell us that they are more than we can number. In Revelation 5, we're told, "Then I looked and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders the voice of many angels numbering myriads and of myriads and thousands of thousands." This is why when we gather together as a family in Christ, or when you study God's word at home, read it yourself, when you pray, we are gathered with angels, archangels, and all the company of heaven. And that includes Michael and Gabriel and the rest of them. Of this group of angels who serve God day and night, a portion rebelled. Why or how, we really don't know. There's, again, some Jewish mysticism out there you can read and some pretty interesting fan fiction by Christians, but none of it's biblical. Isaiah tells us that the ancient serpent, who is called the devil and Satan, and his angels were cast down from heaven. These fallen angels work against everything, every work of God, seeking to destroy the crown of God's visible creation, you and me. Satan, the accuser, slanders and maligns the Lord's people throughout the scripture, seemingly always using the same trick. Did God really say? That's always what works on our flesh so easily. Think about the times you've talked to somebody and they said, "Well, God wants me to do this," or "God wants me to do that," or and you go, "Where in the Bible is that exactly?" I literally had somebody once who was a person who wanted to be involved with a married man say, "The Lord wants me to have this man as my husband." And I said, "No, that's her husband." But she felt convicted by God to try to steal him. Makes for an interesting conversation. Schwammer! That's what she was. It happens all the time. This question, did God really say, invites all of us to become enthusiasts, schwärmers. So look at the text. Michael throws down Satan and his angels, this ancient serpent, by the authority of God. Jude records it so beautifully. All he says, there's no swords and battle and everything else that we want to envision in a great story. The Lord rebuke you. If you use the Luther rite for baptism, the pastor says over the child or the adult getting baptized, depart unclean spirit, make room for the Holy Spirit as the child is about to be baptized. Announcing once again the reality of this constant battle between that which is evil and that which is good. God's angels and the forces of evil that follow Satan. Our reading today describes exactly how the Lord used Michael and his angels to deliver his people from the accusations of Satan. Because Jesus took all of Satan's accusations against us unto himself when he willingly went to the cross, there dying our death and rising our victorious Savior, as John the Baptist, who formed himself, if you will, as an angel, a messenger, the last prophet, saying, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And that's exactly what Jesus did. Satan has nothing more to say. He has nothing more to say to the Lord about us or our sins if they're on Jesus. Because they're gone. As far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered again. Every evil deed, every sin, every impure thought, our intentions, we have all or ever committed and prayed and confessed, were placed upon Jesus on the cross, who is not an angel, but is God in flesh, God and man. And now Satan is not only silenced, but cast down from heaven, never more to deliver slander or accusations against God's redeemed people. If the devil is trying to remind you of your past, the old saying goes, simply remind him of his future. You see, when Satan is cast out of heaven, they were conquered by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Satan and his evil angels are defeated, not with sword and battle plans, but by the blood of the Lamb of God, our Lord Jesus Christ, and his word. And these gifts you receive today through the hearing of God's word, the reception of his holy supper, and daily living in the washing and regeneration that occurs in baptism. You see, every time the Lord's word is proclaimed in truth and purity, Satan is defeated because Christ has defeated him, has crushed his head. Every time a child or an adult is brought to be baptized and is taught the faith to live in that baptism, Satan is defeated because Christ has defeated him. Every time a repentant sinner receives absolution, Satan is defeated because Christ has defeated him. Every time God's people receive Christ's body and blood for the forgiveness of their sins, Satan stands defeated. The gates of hell will not and cannot prevail against the Lord and his church, because in Christ, Satan and his angels and even sin and its fruit, death, are defeated. For Christ is risen. This is our peace. So in faith, let us sing praise to God in his house with all confidence and all boldness. Such we do. At the time of the Reformation, we love singing A Mighty Fortress. I love that stanza. The old evil foe may mean us deadly woe, but he can harm us none. He's judged, the deed is done. One little word can fell him, and that word is Jesus. And with him comes the gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation, given us through his means of grace, the word and the sacraments. In Jesus' precious name.
Amen.
Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.